Okay. Thank you. Okay, so we're picking up with the really a new inyan, same Gemara, but a totally new inyan. The Shakavitarya that we were covering last time talked about how the Rabbanan and the Braisa, who said that your putter in the case of the Rabbanan said that your putter because it's a Shechita Sheini Ru'i, and they hold like a Shimon that a Shechita Sheini Ru'i, and they hold and the Gemara asked the Kasha, we understand why that's a shechita sheini ru'uya. Bishlama avodizara, ganav v'tavach avodizara. We understand why that's a shechita sheini ru'uya. But ganav v'tavach b'Shabbos, why is that a shechita sheini ru'uya? So you checked it on Shabbos, you weren't allowed, you did a malacha, but the meat becomes kosher, doesn't it? So the Gemara said, well, no, actually, there's a three machlekes, and this price is gone like a Rebbe Yochanan HaSandler, who holds that no, the meat does not become kosher. The tzak an iser to eat the basar of the animal that you shechted on Shabbos. The heel is an iser to eat the food that you cooked on Shabbos. There's an iser called Maisa Shabbos, lo yivel achirim, not just today, but forever. So, according to Rechim HaSam, the tzak ha-shechid d'shein ha-ruya. Then the Gemara brought down that there's a pligi bar abach of Ravina about whether this din of Rechim HaSam is a din d'ayreis or a din d'rapanan. And finally, the Gemara, bottom of Amar Aleph, onto the top of Amar Beis, said that this shlomo according to the mandama that it's derais, and then I understand that we can call it a shechita sheini ru'uya. But according to the mandama that it's drabbanon, how can we call that a shechita sheini ru'uya? And the Gemara said, you're right. According to the mandama, that Maaser Shabbos is only this drabbanon, there is no. Then wouldn't be called a shechita sheini ru'uya. There's no reason why anyone would say that you're putter from Dal Vehei for such a shechita. And you have to strike it from the record. The Rabbanan never said Patra on that case. They said it on the other two cases, but they didn't say it on the third case. So the Gemara... Okay, so that's the Shaka Vitaria. What we're taking out of there, what I see clearly, the statement here in this Gemara is that if I want to consider whether something is called Ru'uya or Eina Ru'uya, I want to know about its status midaraisa. If I'm determining, right, you're only chayav dal behei if you do a shechita ru'uya, according to Rabbi Shimon, that shechita sheini ru'uya leishma shechita. So you only chayav dal behei if you do a shechita ru'uya, and I want to consider whether this shechita was ru'uya or ain't ru'uya, I have to look at the din d'ayreisa. If midaraisa it's ru'uya, I'm chayav dal behei. If midaraisa it's ain't ru'uya, then I'm patur from dal behei. But if I have a shechita that midaraisa was ru'uya, and the Rabbanan said, oh, you shouldn't eat that meat, that's not going to change anything. You're still going to be chayav dal behei because that's called a shechita ru'uya. So, this morning on the Marmor Chaimus, I sort of invited you to take a look at something in a totally foreign area of halacha and to try to figure out or consider whether or how it pertains to our sugya. There was a discussion in Hilchas Kisei Adam, Yerdeyasim and Chav Ches, talking about the halacha of Kisei Adam. There's a mitzvah when somebody shechts a chaya or an oif, there's a mitzvah of Kisei Adam, that means that you have to cover the blood. You have to put dirt on top of the blood. That's the mitzvah of Kisei Adam. It's an obligation midaraisa after a shechita. Not a shechita of a behema, but a shechita of a chayo or a oif. There's a mitzvah of Kisei Adam. However, it's only if you shecht a chayo of a oif asher ye yachel, the lashon of the pasuk. That when the shechita is according to Reb Shimon, it's only a sheri achel if the meat is going to be mutter. So Rav Shimon holds that let's say you shecht a behema, I'm sorry, a chaya, and you discover afterwards that it's a treifa, so that's a shechita she'en ruya, and you're not going to be chayav in Kisei Adam. Since it's not a shechita a sheri achel, so there won't be a mitzvah of Kisei Adam. So the Prima Gadim Klar B'Shayla, let's say you have a case where it's where there's a, you inspect the chaya, and you discover that it's a treifa with a din treifa d'rabanan. there's some kind of a blemish in the animal, some kind of a break, some kind of a puncture, which midiraisa does not make it a trefer, but midrabanan it makes it a trefer. So the Prima Gadim said misavara that he thought that you'd be potter from kisei adam. Why? I kisei adam is midiraisa, and over here, it's only a trefer midrabanan. But the Prima Gadim said that asheya achel means that it makes it edible; it has to be able to be eaten. So what I'm interested in is bottom line, could you eat it or can't you eat it? And something that you can't eat, even if it's not an incendiary rice that's preventing you from eating it, even if it's an incendiary rabbanon, if it's something that you can't eat, then that shouldn't make it then that's not considered a shechita ruya. It's not a shechita that could lead to eating. So we got them held that even if it's any ruya midirabbanon, that should take off the mitzvah of kisei hadam midei raisa. In other words, an eni ruuya midei rabbanon should make something an eni ruuya midei raisa. And Rabbi Kivager brings this in, and he argues against them, just very bekitzer. Rabbi Kivager brings a raya from a Gemara that talks about leman de amar ein shchita la'if men ateir. This is going to be a little confusing because we don't pass like that, but I'll give you a sort of a dogma that makes it less foreign. There are some animals that you're not allowed to eat until after shechita. But do you know that that's not true for all animals? Are there any animals that you eat without shechita? Very good. Fish. Right? Behemoth, chayes, those need shechita. Fish don't need shechita. By the way, chagavim also, kosher chagavim, don't need shechita. So basically, the higher life forms need a shechita to be matter them. The lower life forms, like fish, I don't need a shechita to be matched them. What about an in-between life form, like an oif? So, halacha l'maisa, right, there are shechtim that make a living, shechting birds, shechting chickens, avada l'halacha, we pass them that it needs shechita. There's a machlekes, though, in the Gemara, whether that's a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. And the Gemara says, chum daf chav zayin, and again on Pei Hei, there's a similar Gemara, that l'manda omar, that Lamanda Omar, that a bird is like a fish, that just like salmon doesn't need shechita, chicken doesn't need shechita, then we would say that Nechirasai Zehi Shechitasai, that if you just kill it, if you just stab it, shoot it, that's its shechita, and it would need Kisei Adam. Oifes, remember, Oifes need Kisei Adam. They don't need, according to this mandam, they don't need shechita midei raisa. So we would say that nechirasai zayi shechitasai, and you would need kisei adam after killing it, after shooting it to death. Rabbi Kivager says, balamaisa, even lamanda amar ein shechita l'oif min ha'toira, nechirasai zayi shechitasai min ha'toira, but midrabanan avada you can't eat chicken without shechita, right? We all agree that it's going to be asa midrabanan. If you kill the bird without shechting it, we all agree that it's going to be asa midrabanan. And the Gemara over there is saying that it's going to need a kisei adam. Whatever happened to asher yachel? That has to be food that you're able to eat. So he says, v'zehu raya barura, that when we're considering whether it's a shechita ru'uya or a shechita she'ena ru'uya, what are we interested in? Only the din d'oraisa. Is it ru'uya midoraisa? If midoraisa, you'd be allowed to eat it. Then it qualifies for a shiri achel, for its a shechita that brought lidei achila, and it's chayav in kisei adam. And even though there may be a din d'rabbanan that's going to prevent you from eating it, but that's not going to take away from its status of a shechita ruya midoraisa. D'oraisa d'kedinim are only interested in other d'oraisa d'kedinim. A din d'rabbanan can't turn something into ein ruya midoraisa. It can't affect the status of a d'oraisa. So Rabbi Kivager says that Zehu Raya Brewer, again, to this, what this really is, why are we talking about Kisei Adam? He's right, it's totally not our sugya, but this is a very global question. It has applications in Dal Vehei, it has applications in Kisei Adam. This question of whether something that's Enei Rori Midrabanan could affect it in Dereisa, just sort of in rapid fire fashion, to go through a few other examples of where this community is. There's a halacha that a ma'anes, right, somebody who's ma'anes, a nara basula, so in addition to paying a knas, he's also supposed to marry her. If she consents, he's supposed to marry her, that way she'll be taken care of. There's a mitzvah, v'loisi eli isha. But the Torah says only if it's a isha ru'uya loi, meaning someone that's mutter to him, not an isha that's asura. The Rambam brings us down, and the Rambam says that even if that isser is shniyos midivrei seferim, the kind of a relative that's not an everyday raisa, but like a second degree relative that's only an erev midrabanan, the Rambam says that would not be included in the mitzvah of alaysi elisha. This is the opposite perspective. This is sort of like what we were hearing from the Pirkei Avotim. So the Rambam is saying that there's only a mitzvah of alaysi elisha if it's a woman that you're allowed to live with, lamaisa. It doesn't help that the Torah allowed you. If the Rabbanim made it Isser, so now, practically speaking, you're not able to live with her, so that's called Eina Ru'uya. There's only a mitzvah of Lesi of Isha for an Isha Ru'uya Lai. If she's Eina Ru'uya Midi Rabbanim, the Rambam seems to be saying that would be called Eina Ru'uya Midi Raisa. There's another Rambam where it talks about that the Mei Saita, right? Somebody brings his wife to the Beis HaMikdash to drink the Mayim HaMa'arim for a Saita. Now, the halacha is that only if the ish is menuke me'avain, then the mayim are beitken as ishtai. The water, the saita water, only works to test the wife if the husband is pure, meaning he has no averis on his record in yone ishas. But if he ever had a be'ila asura, then in a mayim beitken as ishtai. And the Rambam lists a bunch of examples of kinds of averis that could disqualify him from having the mayim being baitin as ishtai. So he says if he was ever baitin ervo or chayvei lavin or chayvei asei, vafilu arusase beveis chamav. If he was baitin arusase beveis chamav, right, if he had beer with his kala between the erusin and the nesuin, which is, according to almost all Rishayim, an issur d'rabbanan, the Rambam himself holds that's an issur d'rabbanan, that'll affect whether she's eligible for the Meisaita, which is a Din Dereisa. So here you see another instance of Einei Roi Midrabanan seeming to affect a Din Dereisa. Those two are in the Rambam. An example from a Gemara. The Gemara says that when there's a Melchemes Mitzvah, so everybody's supposed to go out to war. That's a mitzvah, everybody's supposed to go out to war. But then there are the Chizr Malab Me'erchar HaMelchama. There are those that return from the battle from. Very famous Gemara in Saita, the Pasuk says that the Kohen gets up and he says, "Mi Isha Yarei Barach Aleivav Yedech V'Yoshel Aveisa." Who is fearful? He should go home. And the Machlekes in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva says that means Yarei Me Kishrei Ha'Ini Yachalame BeKishrei HaMelchama. He's pushing a chicken. He can't. He's not a good soldier. But Rabbi Yosi, I think it's Rabbi Yosi Aglili, maybe. I'm not sure which Tana. I think either Rabbi Yosi or Rabbi Yosi Aglili says. Then no, it doesn't mean in Yachalam B'Kishrei HaMelchama. It means Yarei Me'Averis Shabiyadai. He's afraid of his Averis. And then it gives an example. The example the Gemara gives is somebody who is Sach Beit Tefillah Shal Yad L'Tefillah Shal Roish. If he talks between putting on the Tefillah Shal Yad and the Tefillah Shal Roish, that disqualifies him, which means that it affects the Din Dereis, because there's a mitzvah Dereis for everybody to go out to war. Those that are Yarei Me'Averis Shabiyadai are allowed to go back. Now, this Avera of being Sach Ben Tfilah Shal Yad L'Tfilah Shal Reish is Avadan Avera D'Rabbonim. That's, I mean, the mitzvah of Tfilin is D'Reisa. But the not talking between one and the other, which has to do with the Brachas, I mean, the whole Brachas D'Rabbonim, the Din that you're not allowed to talk between one and the other is a Din D'Rabbonim. Mishnah Malach brings this as a Raya, that L'Chera, that an Einei Roi Midi becomes an Einei Roi Midi Reisa. There's a discussion in the Sha'ar Melech points out very geshmak. There's two Gemaras in Masechet Megillah. I'm sorry, in Masechet Sukkah. One about Sukkah. One about Esrog, which seems to be on opposite sides of this chakira. Talks about an Esrog of Ma'aser Sheni being pasul because it's Eini Roi. Okay, he brings it. Well, he's assuming he brings a raya that it means that it's a psul deraisa, even though the whole the esrog, obviously it's not wheat, it's not barley, it's not grapes, it's not oil. The mitzvah of chumas and maizes mi deraisa is on dug and tirish v'yitzar, on grain and grapes and olives. Chumas and maizes on peiros is according to Tosis, not according to all Rishonim, but according to Tosis at least. Is only Mitzvah D'Rabbanan. So when the Mishnah talks about an Esrog Shel Ma'aser Sheni, Esrog Shel Ma'aser Sheni, which you're not allowed to eat outside of Yerushalayim, that's a Din D'Rabbanan, because the whole Mitzvah of Ma'aser Sheni on Peiros, Esrog is a fruit. Masajena on Paris is only Jarabana. And yet, that makes that estric called Eneroi Lachila, and therefore you're not allowed to use it for your mitzvah. It doesn't have any like Heter Achila. So you see over there, and again, you might argue that no, over there it just means that it's possible to be Jarabana. He brings a raya. That over there you see that an Eni Roy Midrabanan makes something possible with your eyes. On the other hand, there's another Gemara in Masechet Megillah that talks about building a sukkah al gabei ha'ilon. Over there's a machlek ha'sanayim, but we pass him like, I think it's a machlek ha'sanayim of Rabbi Yehuda, but I think he assumes that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir over there, although I'm not sure why. Again, we're doing this just rapid fire, I'm not going to the details of each case. I don't know the details of each case. But the Gemara in Sukkah, I think, in Daf Chav Gimel, where it talks about if somebody builds a sukkah al gabi ilan, so there's a machlekes in the Gemara whether such a sukkah is kosher. What's the problem with the sukkah? What's the tzad that should be puzzled? Because a sukkah has to be roi l'shiva. If you build a sukkah, it's going to fall down in a day. That's not good. It has to be roi l'shiva. This sukkah is not roi l'shiva because among the 7 days of sukkah, there's going to be a Shabbos, there's going to be a Yom Tif, at least one day, right, of Yom Tif. And one day of Shabbos, and on those days, you're not allowed to climb a tree. Alright, not allowed to climb a tree, so this sukkah will only be good, it's good on Chol Hamoed, so it's good for 5 out of 7 days, if Shabbos falls out on Yom Tov, so 6 out of 7 days, but it's not going to be good for all 7 days, because on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to climb the tree. So sukkah gabi ilan, Rabbi Yehuda, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Yehuda says it's possible, because it's not Roi L'Shiva. Rabbi Meir says back, what do you mean it's not Roi L'Shiva? Midei Raisa Mechzi Chazia. It's roaring midday raisa. Well, who said they're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos and that's all it did rabbanon. So a mayor is saying you can't call it any roaring l'shiva because it would be a violation of a din rabbanon midday raisa. It's roaring l'shiva. So again, so Shamal says over there for passing like a mayor that seems to contradict the other gemara about the esrig. He tries to be miyashiv that. So let's never mind all the individual cases and the series and how to be miyashiv them. I'm mentioning these just to give you a whole bunch of nafkaminas so you get a sense of the chakira. This is really a very global, what's called a shas chakira. It's the gay in many sugyas all over. When there's a din that's telling on whether something is roi or not, like in our sugya, the din of dal v'hei is telling on whether the shechita was roi or not. How do we measure whether something is roi or not? Does it mean strictly whether it's roi midei raisa? Or do we mean whether it's roi, bottom line, Shulchan Aruch? And so Dinim Dirabbanon could also make it any roi. And there's Mukairis Lakan and Mukairis Lakan. There's sources on both sides, and we're not going to try to go into, you know, the sugya sort of on a global level and try to come up with a formula that makes all of the cases fit in. But I do want to talk about one part of the discussion that I saw. Because the Mamash ties in very much with what we were talking about earlier this week. This Reb Chaim, it's a recently published Reb Chaim. It's not Reb Chaim in Sefer. You know, then there's a Sefer called Chidushei HaGrach, which is really an ever-expanding Sefer. It's a collection of the unpublished writings of Reb Chaim. And every few years they put it out in a new edition with more things that are included. So the latest edition of the Chidush HaGrach, I just... So this is a letter that Reb Chaim wrote to a Yid named Reb Isser Yehuda Malin, who was from a family in Brisk. His father was a Rav in Brisk. And then I think later in life he became a Rav in Brisk. I think his grandfather was also a Rav in Brisk. They're not to be confused with the Brisker Rav. They were none of them were ever called the Brisker Rav, but I guess there was more than one rabbi in town. The Malin family had 3 dayrates of Rabbanim in Brisk. So this Reb Issa Yehuda, he was killed during the Holocaust. This Reb Issa Yehuda Malin. So but he was he grew up in Brisk. He's a big time chacham. At the time of this letter, he had a shteller as a rav in a small town somewhere. Later in life, he became a rav in Brisk. Reb Chaim wrote him a letter. Now, in 19, after the war, grandchildren of his were collecting put out a sefer with his chidushim or his tshuvis, whatever, the writings of their grandfather, this Reb Issa Yehuda Malin. By the way, there's a more famous cousin, Reb Leib Malin. In America, he was more famous. He's a cousin of theirs, the same general family, but a different branch. But then this Rav Issa Yehuda Malan, so I don't know when exactly the Einik Lach put out his ksavim, and in the front they included that they found among his ksavim a letter that he got from Rav Chaim Zalavishik. So yeah, that's about their treasure. So they included it in the sefer. So eventually that came to light that oh, there's a new shtickle pair from Rav Chaim. That's an example of how you get a new shtickle pair from Rav Chaim. So the newer editions of the Chiddushei Agrach have this. They have this letter. And in this letter, now the reason why it's very distracting, if you remember earlier this week, I told you that there's said over B'Shem Rav Chaim, this is said about Maisa Shabbos, that we talked about earlier in the week, where Maisa Soloveitchik writes in a tshuva that he heard this from his father, but we didn't have it anywhere in writing from Rav Chaim. We still don't have it anywhere in writing from Rav Chaim. Well, no, this is actually his writing. This is his letter. This is Rav Chaim's word. So the Yisoid appears, not with the Shul Torah that we're saying on Monday, but that Yisoid, which we're about to hear, that we mentioned on Monday, appears in this letter. Anyway, here's what he says. He's talking about the Rambam. We mentioned as we were going through half a dozen or so Mar Mekayim is relevant to this Shaila, we talked about the Rambam Legave V'loisi L'isha. If you remember, there's a mitzvah on a Ma'anis. Somebody who's ma'anis and arab sula has to marry her, v'leisi l'isha. But only if it's an isha ru'uyalai, not if it's an isha she'ini ru'uyalai. On that, the Rambam said, what's called an isha she'ini ru'uyalai? If there's any kind of an isha, I'll feel the shniyas midivri sefer, meaning even if it's an isha d'rabbanon, an isha d'rabbanon makes it an isha ru'uyalai. So, they ask on this Rambam, so I think this, Rav Issa Yehuda Malan sent this kasha to Rav Chaim. He said, I have a bomb kasha on the Rambam. I see here the Rambam holds that an Einei Roi Midirabbanon makes something Einei Roi Midiraisa. What do you do with this Gemara over here? This Gemara in Bava Kamma, Dafayan Aleph. You see clearly that an Einei Roi Midirabbanon does not make it between Einei Roi Midiraisa. Because, right, again, when the Gemara over here says that Gona V'Tavach B'Shabbos, the Chacham say Pater, why do they say Pater? Kushchit Shein Ruya. Right, Gemara, why is it Einei Ruya? So he's talking about Shabbos. It's not there, but why is it? Why is the Shechita Einei Ruya? So the Gemara says, oh, it's going like a Yechon and a son who holds that there's an Isser. But then the Gemara says, well, please, Bar Rachav Ravina, Achan Amadei Reis, Achan Amadei Rabbanu, Bishlam Lamanda Amadei Reis, and then I'm in the sin, you can call the Shechita Einei Ruya. But Lamanda Omar, that the Isser of Maisa Shabbos is only Rabbanu, how could you call that a Shechita Einei Ruya? And the Gemara says, you're right, I give up, right? Surrender. The Gemara says, there's no answer to that. If it's only an Isser of Rabbanu, I can't call that a Shechita Einei Ruya. So Rav Issa Yehuda Malan said, I see over here, that something that's Einei Roi Midrabbanon doesn't make it Einei Roi Midiraisa. And yet the Rambam says that an Isha, if somebody's Ma'anes Ashnius Larayos, and she's Einei Roi Midrabbanon, that takes off the mitzvah of Loisi Elisha. Meaning that the gather of Roi and Einei Roi means bottom line, Shulchan Aruch, is it Roi or Einei Roi? And somebody who's Einei Roi, Einei Ro'uya, because of an Issa D'Rabbanon, that makes her considered Einei Ruya, and you don't have the mitzvah D'Raisa V'Laisi Elisha. So you see there that D'Rabbanon could affect it in D'Raisa. So why over here are we saying that a psul in the Shechita, a Isser on the meat, D'Rabbanon, won't affect the Shechita and make it into a Shechita Einei Ruya? That was his kasha on the Rambam. I mean, like we started, from this Gemara, you have a Raya, that anywhere in D'Rabbanon does not make something into an anywhere in D'Raisa. And yet, the Rambam seems to say that it does. So he's zeroing in on that aspect of the sugya. Again, there's all this raya. There's the Shaar HaMelech, who brings the two rayas from Maseches Sukkah. There's really the Mishnah, the Mishnah HaMelech over there on that Rambam Hilchos Na'ar B'Sula. He really wrote the book on this. It's a very, very long piece. I don't know if you're familiar. One of the Mefarshim that's on the page in the Rambam, in a classic edition of the Rambam, so on the top of the page, you have the Magen Mishnah on those Svarim where he wrote, and you have the Kesef Mishnah on all of the Svarim, or almost all of the Svarim. And then there are other Mefarshim on the page. One of the Mefarshim on the page is the Mishnah LeMelech. It's more recent than all the other Mefarshim that are on the page in the classic edition of a Rambam. The Mishnah LeMelech, he sometimes has these tremendous arichases, where from time to time, where you could like turn 5 pages of the Rambam, and there's no Rambam, and there's no Kesef Mishnah, and there's no nothing. It's just Mishnah Malach. He has these very long essays. It's for the most part, it's just a commentary on the Rambam. You know, he has a paragraph on this halacha, a paragraph, you know, I'll skip a few halachas, and there'll be a paragraph on that halacha. But from time to time, he goes into an extraordinary arichas. This is one of his big, big marachas. So he on the Rambam Menachel Chasna Arbasula, he talks about this Indian at great length. This tshuva, this shaila tshuva, this dialogue between Rav Malin and Rav Chaim, they don't mention any of these other mafarshim. They just consider it a localized kasha that this Gemara here in Baba Kama is a series of that Rambam. And Rav Chaim responded with the essay that we said over on Monday. He doesn't talk about the nafkaminas and the applications, but just to remind you, we said on Monday that in Maaseh Shabbos we find a very geshmaka halacha in Siman Reish Ayin Vav, that if you have a lamp and there's 1 hour's worth of oil, a lamp was lit before Shabbos, was lit beheter, you're sitting and you're learning by the light of the lamp, you're being Ma'ar Sedra, and it's perfectly fine, you're allowed to, it's a kashra lamp. And there's no gezeirah shem yachet, whatever. And then a guy comes along and he adds 4 more hours worth of oil into your lamp. And now, of course, the oil all mixes together, and the fire that's being produced is being produced from a taruvis of 4 parts utzer oil and 1 part mutter oil. You should have to close the Gemara right away.
A guy comes along, or should?
Doesn't the case over there was a guy?
But there's a guy's
wife
there, no?
No, but he's doing it for the Yisrael. He's doing it for the Yisrael.
It's not like he didn't ask him.
It doesn't matter. A guy that does malacha for Yisrael, even if he wasn't asked to, right? Amir la'akam is one halacha. But this is the halacha of Maaseh Shabbos. If a goy does malacha for Yisrael, that malacha is aser. So a goy came in, he added 4 ounces of oil to the 1 ounce of oil, so now it's mostly iser, it's a tarubis. If you look at it as a tarubis, you'd have to close the chumash right away. But the halacha is, this is a Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is that you're allowed to continue learning for 1 hour. So he said the pshat, Rav Chaim says the pshat is that the oil that he puts in doesn't become a chefsa de isura. When you do a Maisa Shabbos, it's not that what you produced is a davar ha'asr, an isr in the chefsa. It's asr, he's medayik the lashon ramam, asr lehanis ba'isim alacha. You can't do anything that you only have thanks to the malacha. If you only have this food thanks to the malacha, you're not allowed to eat that food. But the first hour of reading, that's not thanks to the malacha. You would have that without the malacha. True, you would have been using different oil, now you're using this oil. I don't care which oil you're using. It's not a chefsa di sura. It's 1 hour of light was you'd have without the malacha, so that's permitted because that's not thanks to the malacha. The second hour is already thanks to the malacha. That you're not allowed to use. That's the isra of Maaseh Shabbos. It's to be nene. It's to be mishtamish, to make use of things that you only have thanks to the malacha. But it's not an issur in the chefza. To bring it to our case, where our Gemara is talking about mavashel, or let's say sheichet, our Gemara is talking about a shechita. Avada, if somebody shechs an animal, you're not allowed to eat the meat, right? We're going to Rabbi Yechon the Sadler. You're not allowed to eat the meat. The meat is usr. But Rabbi Chaim would say, even according to Rabbi Yechon the Sadler, it's not usr like nevela is usr. It's usr because if you eat that meat, then you're benefiting from the shechita. So you're not allowed to eat the meat. But it's only because you can't do something that gives you a benefit from the malacha. But it's not that the meat is be'etzem not kosher for keretz. It's be'etzem kosher meat. And within the zivin afkaminas, the blias or the taruvis of that meat won't be, let's say the blias for sure, the blias of the meat won't be aser, the blias that are in the walls of the pot, because, again, we were talking about sheichet b'shabbos, but let's say, for example, somebody's teveach b'shabbos, so that meat is aser. And then on matzah Shabbos, he takes that meat and he cooks it. He's not allowed to eat this meat, but he didn't know. So he cooked it in a pot. So now what's the halach of that pot? So, again, halacha l'maaseh mishabur attack says that it's usher. Rav Chaim was medayik, l'fi the Rambam, l'fi this lamdus, which he says is the shitas Rambam, the pot that you use to cook the meat that you shechted on Shabbos, the pot won't become usher. Because what do you mean to usher the pot? Then the next day when you go and you cook something else, you shouldn't be allowed to eat that because of the blias of this meat, but that's not thanks to the malacha. When you're cooking on Monday, on Sunday, you cook the meat that you shechted on Shabbos. Then on Monday, you're cooking something else in this same pot. The spaghetti that you're cooking on Monday is not benefiting in any way from the fact that you shechted a behemah on Shabbos. So that's going to be mutter, and there won't be an iser blias. But the aside is that it's not the kashrus of the meat. The meat is kosher. Just, you're not allowed to eat it if eating it is going to give you a hanah from the ma'aseh shechita. So therefore, Zohar Reb Chaim, that's why the Gemara is saying that it doesn't make it into a shechita she'ein ruiyah. When the Gemara says this won't make it a shechita she'ein ruiyah, because shechita she'ein, not because it's only nisa d'rabbanan as opposed to nisa d'raisa, it's because a shechita she'ein ruiyah has to be in a shechefza. Meaning, shechita she'ein ruiyah means, what does it do to the meat? If the meat is kosher, like basar shachot, then that's a shechita ruiyah, then it's mechayev and dal vehe. If the meat is also like basar nevela, that's a shechita she'ein ruiyah, and it's not mechayev and dal vehe. Zohar Reb Chaim, this Maisa Shabbos, even if you hold that it's usur, but it's not usur kinevela, meaning even when the Rabbanan came and they usured it, but even the Rabbanan didn't say it's like nevela. They said it's kosher meat, but you can't eat it. Because if you eat it, then you'll be nana from the Maisa Shechita. But if there are ways that you could eat this food, ingest this food, that won't be a benefit from the Maisa Shechita, like the example of the bleas in the world, but it'll be mutter, because it's not like nevela. So that's why this is not a Shechita She'ein Ruiyah. So Reb Chaim used that yesoid of Maisa Shabbos not being an Esra Chefza to explain why the Gemara over here in the Maskana is saying that we wouldn't call this a Shechita She'ein Ruiyah. But we have to just be moisif. Reb Chaim doesn't really explain. He doesn't speak this out, but clearly this is what he means. This lumness that we're saying that Maisa Shabbos is not an Issa Chefza, Reb Chaim is saying that's why at the end of the Gemara it's not called a Shechita She'ein Ruiyah. But the Gemara doesn't say that it's not called a Shechita She'ein Ruiyah. The Gemara says, Bishlam al-Manda amadei Raisa. Then it is a Shechita She'ein Ruiyah. El Manda Amad Rabbanan, then it's not a Shechita She'ein Ruiyah. Reb Chaim is apparently saying, he doesn't really articulate it like this, but the Reb Chaim is saying that this chakira of whether you look at it like nevela or not is toloi on whether it's Asa Midei Raisa or Asa Midei Rabbanan. I mean, the Gemara makes a contrast. The Gemara doesn't just say Maisa Shabbos is never Shechita She'ein Ruiyah, because in Islam it's not an Issa Chefza. The Gemara says that Lamanda Omer that is Asa Midei Raisa is a Shechita She'ein Ruiyah. Lamanda Omer that is only Asa Midei Rabbanan is not a Shechita She'ein Ruiyah. Where Reb Chaim says it's not because of Drabbanan versus Dei Raisa, because Dinu Drabbanan could also make something in Ruiyah. It's because it's not an Issa Chefza. Okay, but if it's not an Issa Chefza, so why then in the Manda Omer Dei Raisa is it yes a Shechita She'ein Ruiyah? So here's where we have to add that what he apparently means is that if you hold that it's Issa Dei Raisa, the Manda Amr that it's Deiraisa, Hitaka considers it an Issa Chefza. Which, I'm adding now, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I'm suggesting that maybe what he means is because if you take the Drusha, literally, the Drusha was Makkoidish Aser Bahana, Af Maisa Shabbos Aser Bahana, I shouldn't say Bahana, but Makkoidish Aser, Af Maisa Shabbos Aser, what was the lesson of the Drusha? If we're making it like Hektish Avad is an Isser Chefza. Then Hektish is that there's a Chalais on the Chefza that this is Aser for you to eat. So maybe Reb Chaim is holding that the Manda Omer in the Machalais of Achan Ravina, the Manda Omer that is Aser Midei Raisa, he holds that it's like Hektish. If it's like Hektish, then it has a Gedder of a Chalais on the Chefza. Then it's a chefza, like nevela. That's why it's a Shechita She'ein Ruiyah. The Manda Amad Rabbanon, here again, what was his makar? Who told the Gemara that this should be told or that? I'm not sure. But Reb Chaim is assuming that the Manda Amad Rabbanon, the lumness changes also. It's not just the level that changes. The Reis Rabbanon is different levels. But Reb Chaim is apparently assuming that in the Machalikas, whether it's Deraisa Drabbanan, the lumness also changes. That the Manda Amad Drabbanan, since he's not learning from the Pasuk, he's more Alderech Knas, Shalai Lehanes Me'oisim Malacha, so it's not an Issa Chefza, it's just not to do things that you only have thanks to that Malacha. So it comes out, the Gemara is saying that we call it Shechita She'ein Ruiyah, it's good if you hold Deraisa and it's not good if you hold Drabbanan. But not because of Deraisa versus Drabbanan. It's not because Deraisa affect Ruiyah and Drabbanans don't. It's because if you're holding it Seiraisa, that means you're taking the drasha literally that compared it to Hekdesh, so then you're considering it Nesar Chavtza. And Nesar Chavtza makes it a Shechita Shein Eruya. But if you're considering it to Rabbanon, that means that you're not taking the drasha so seriously, so you're not comparing it to Hekdesh, it's just an Issa Shalele Hanis Ba'isa Malacha, that's not a Nesar Chavtza, so then it doesn't make it into Shechita Shein Eruya. Deiraisa to Rabbanon is sort of an indirect cause for this Nafkamina, but it's not totally on being Deiraisa versus Rabbanon. It's totally on being an Isra Chafsa versus not being an Isra Chafsa. That's how you have to sort of fill out Rav Chaim's Shigul Torah. But the assertion that he says is that the reason why the Gemara says that is because of the lamdas that we said on Monday, based on the halach and some reisha involved, that Maisa Shabbos is not an Isra Chafsa. Yeah, you just had your right hand up?
Yeah, could it be tall? Why can't it just be tall? The Raisa things like things that Torah says Aser are inherently Aser. So that's why it's Isra Chafetza. The Rabbanon is like, it's nothing wrong with it, we're just making a knas on this.
Yeah, no, I are you making a very good point? That there is precedent to say that Bechlal, Isurim Rabbanon, are not an Isra Chafetza. I'm not going to go into it, but there is raid to that effect. There's a piece in the Sefer Asman Deiraiser, Beis of Engel. He has a whole long arichas trying to, on this Chakira, whether Yisurim Rabbanon are an Isra Chafetza or not. There's a Meshech Chachma about it. So Ari wants to say that maybe we could just say that on the side that it's Rabbanon, it's not an Isra Chafetza because Rabbanon is never an Isra Chafetza. And therefore it doesn't affect Shechita Shein Eruya. The problem is that then again it should l'chayra affect all the Rabbanans, meaning l'mashal the Shnias L'arayas are also not going to be Nesach Hefza. Meaning you're saying a svara why the Rabbanans shouldn't affect whether something is called Roy or any Roy, but we want to be mechalek that Ba'alma, we're saying the Shnias L'arayas is really that the Rabbanans do affect whether something is called Roy or any Roy. Le'inyin ain't mayim b'itkin asishtoi, dinim drabbanon count. Le'inyin whether loisiel isha isha ruuyala, dinim drabbanon count. But dafka legabi lechiv dal vehe only for a shchita ruuya over there dinim drabbanon don't count. So that Rav Chaim says no, we don't have a hezber for that. So we'd rather just say that it's ma'isa Shabbos is different because of ma'isa Shabbos it's not an iser cheftza. But we still have to stick in that he's only saying that l'man namer drabbanon, not l'man namer that is deraisa. Okay, so that's, like I said, this does not, we're not tackling the larger issue. I'm just giving you a whole bunch of my requirements on that issue. But Reb Chaim said of Vark Legabi, our sugya to answer a certain localized problem within that discussion. Okay, now we're going to start to read back there. The Gemara says Rameya. The Gemara says, let's turn our attention back to Rameya. Rameya is one of the brises that said Chai. These three cases, the Rabbanan said Patra. Why? Because the Shechit Shein Eruya, again, Gonav V'Tavach V'Shabbos, Gonav V'Tavach L'Avoy Dezer, Gonav Shara Niskol V'Tavach. The Rabbanan said in all these cases, you're Patra from Dalav V'Hei. Why? Because it's Shechit Shein Eruya. In all these cases, though, Rameya said Chai. So why does Rameya say Chai? That's easy. Rameir says Chayev because he holds like the Chachamim, not like Reb Shimon. Shechita Shein Eruya, Shema Shechita. It was Machlokes in the middle. There were two opinions in the Mishnah. The Mishnah gave a couple of cases. The Mishnah gave a case of Tavach v'Nimsa Trefa. The Mishnah said that's Chayev Dal Vehei, Tanakama, and then Reb Shimon Peter. Why? Because if you were gonna, you were Tavach v'Nimsa Trefa, so the shechita was a good shechita. You can't eat the meat, but it's a good shechita. The Tanakhama said, if the shechita, if in Hilchas shechita was a kosher shechita, that's all you need to be chayav dal v'hei. Reb Shimon says, no, you're only chayav dal v'hei if it's not just in Hilchas shechita was a good shechita. If l'maisa the person can eat it. So therefore, according to Reb Shimon, the gun of the tavach v'nimsa trefa was pater. So there's machloikis shchita shein ruuya shema shchita leishma shchita. So we've been spending the last couple of shiurim focusing on Reb Shimon shchita and the opinion that shchita shein ruuya leishma shchita, but not everybody holds that way. So a mayor in the Braisa, he says all these three cases are chayev because they're good shechitas. In Hilchah Shechita, you shechted l'avodah zarah, but it was a good shechita. You can't eat the meat because it's like ravis avodah zarah. Well, you're not allowed to eat it because of a side issue. There's an issur avodah zarah on the meat, but it's not an avail. You did a good shechita, so may hold the yechayev yechayev dal behay for that. So all of these three cases, although the rabbanon patterned because of shechita she'en uriah, Rav Meir was mechayev because he holds shechita she'en uriah shema shechita. But the Gemara has a kasha. Fine, we'll grant you that shechita she'en uriah is shema shechita, but there's a different problem here. In the case of tavach l'avodah zarah, Rav Meir amai mechayev shechita l'avodah zarah, the Gemara says that there should be a different problem. And this problem, in order to understand it, we have to go through the shechita in slow motion. We know that a shechita involves a process, even though it's funny that we call it a process because it's one of the quickest things you ever see. I mean, shechitas are done so fast. That's apidin. It has to be done fast. There can't be any delay within the shechita. So you really have to video it and watch the video in slow motion to understand what we mean, you know, that it's a process. But there is a process. The process, because there's two simanim, and it has to be roiv of two simanim, right? There's a kana and a veshet, that's the windpipe and the esophagus, and it has to go through roiv of the two simanim. I've never been that close to the throat of a cow, but I can't tell you how thick those pipes are, but there's some thickness to it. I don't know if it's an inch thick, or 2 inches thick, or half an inch thick, but there's some thickness to it, which means that the knife has to travel a certain amount. Now, the first bit of cutting does not make it into a shechita. It has to proceed an inch or two on the kana and on the veshet. Again, typically they're done all together in one cut, right? But there's a certain amount of cutting that has to happen for the shechita to be kosher. So, and if you break it down and you really think of it in slow motion, so there's first a certain amount of cutting that's happened, and the animal is not yet kosher. The shechita is not yet kosher. When it just began to penetrate, and it hasn't, it's only touched one siman and not the other. It's only gone a quarter of the way through the siman and not half of the way, not a rabe of the way through the siman. So there's a point in time where you have a shechita that's not yet kosher. At that point in time, frekti gemara, the one chalais has happened and the other chalais has not. What are the two chalaisim over here? Well, one is, we're talking about being mechayev dal v'hei. Gana v'tavach is chayev dal v'hei. But for that, you need a tfache kulay b'isura. You need a whole shechita to be chayev dal v'hei. That's clear. The Gemara says on the Afayin Beis that we learned from the Lashon of the Pasuk, tfachai, that you need kulay b'isura, that nobody is chayev dal v'hei for doing a partial shechita. You have to do a whole shechita in order to be chayev dal v'hei. So there's this process. Imagine you can count to five while the shechita is taking place. So as he's saying 1, 2, 3, 4, there's no chiyav dal v'hei. When he says 5, then there's chiyav dal v'hei. What's the other chalais over here? You're shechting l'avodah zarah. You're making it into an offering, l'avodah zarah, to krevus avodah zarah, which asers the behema. How much of a shechita do you have to do, l'shem avodah zarah, to aser the behema? So the Gemara, we have the words of the Gemara makes a statement that kivan d'shachet ba'purta, once you've shechted it a little bit, you started to penetrate the kana, the veshet. At that point, it's the krevus avodah zarah, because you did a part of a shechita l'shem avodah zarah. That's all it takes to aser it as the krevus avodah zarah. So at that point, it already became aser l'shem avodah zarah. By the time you finished the shechita, it was already lav demari katavach. It no longer belonged to the owner because it became aser b'hana, and that should make you part from dal v'hei. So there's a lot going on in this line. Let's just read the words inside again. Rav Meir, amai mechayev shechel avodah zarah. Why is he mechayev in the case of shechel avodah zarah? Kivan d'shachet ba'purta. Once he shechts a little bit, count to one. Right? He just started the cutting. Asra, he asked the animal. Iduch, the rest of it, isurei hanahu. Meaning when he completes the shechita of 2, 3, 4, 5. When he completes the shechita, he's already shechting something which is asur b'hanah v'loy demari katavach. And we can't say that belongs to the owner. So why is he chayav dal? And that's the point where the chayav dal v'hei is supposed to be chal, when you reach 5. And at that point, it no longer belongs to the owner. So why is he chayav dal v'hei? So Let's tackle just the part of the Gemara that says that your that the Avodah Zarah is chal at the count of one. Meaning, keep the shach about Purim. Once you shach that a little bit, it becomes Avodah Zarah. So, yeah. So that's the part that we'll miss Shem tomorrow. About that's a big figure also, right? That Eliezer is selling on the words "v'lab demari katavach," and no one belongs to the owner. Why not? Why doesn't it belong to the owner? So that we'll have to see about Mr. Shem. There's a lot going on in this line, but that which says shachar b'porta is enough to make it into Isser Hana of the Krevis of Avodah Zarah. So let's start by looking at it. So there's a Rashi and Taisvis. If you were working on the Ma'amar Krevis this morning, you saw there's a Machlokes Rashi and Taisvis about, but they're using jargon that may be unfamiliar. Yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'ad seif versus eini l'shchita elo l'b'seif. But this machlaikis appears in many places in Shas, but one of the places is on the very next Amud, and the Fayin Beza Manalef, where the Gemara has a very similar kasha. The Gemara over there is talking about the case in the Mishnah of Sheikhit Chulin Ba'azara, where the Tanakhama said that you're chayiv, and Shimon said Patr, because Shechit Shenuri, the Tanakhama doesn't care that Shechit Shenuri, so he said chayiv. On that case, the Gemara has a kasha. If you start from the second line, the kasha is exactly the same verbatim as our kasha. The Gemara is asking that once you shechted a little bit, so it became Asr Bahana, because Chulin Ba'azara is also an Asr Hana. Chulin Ba'azara means I took an animal which is not hektish, right? It's regular meat for the butcher shop. But I brought it to the Beis HaMikdash, and I brought it in the Azar of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the place where you're supposed to shecht karbanais. And the Torah is makbid that you're not allowed to shecht your regular butcher shop meat in the Azara. You can shecht it anywhere else. You can't shecht it in the Azara. If you do, it becomes Asr Bahana. So the Gemara says that why you chayav dal vehei over there, once you start the shechita in the Azara, it becomes chul Azara, becomes Asr Bahana, v'lav demari katavach. By the time you finish the shechita, it's right, v'lav demari katavach. So why you chayav dal vehei? Exactly the same as our kasha. Give the shachar paporta, the isser eschal. By the time you finish, it's lav demar ketavach. But over there, that's the kasha starting from the second line. But if you start from the first line of the kasha, the Gemara begins by saying, let this be a raya that eina l'shchita elo l'besoif. Because if you would hold yeshna l'shchita mitchila va'ad soif, then the following kasha would ensue, that the kiva the shachar paporta becomes aser, and then the kiva d'alvei is only at the end, and then it's lav demar ketavach. So what does that mean? There's a machlokes whether we just said that there's a certain duration to the process of shechita. You can count to five. Again, obviously, that's in slow motion. But let's make believe. You can count to five, right? There is a certain duration of the shechita taking place. One, two, three, four. That part of the shechita, is that also called shechita? Or is only the completion called shechita? There's one opinion that ain't no shechita el l'b'seif. It's only the last moment when you complete the roiv of shnei simanim, then it's called shechita. Up until that point, that's just called cutting. You know, cutting. It's the same as cutting anything else. It's not. It's not called a ma'aseh shechita. The last moment, that's what's called a ma'aseh shechita. And there's another opinion that says no. Yes, shechita shechita mitchila v'atzeif. It is called the shechita from the beginning to the end. If a shechita takes 5 seconds, again, or 5 units of time, right, called milliseconds, but whatever it takes, we'll just call it seconds. If a shechita takes 5 seconds, so the first second is you're doing a ma'aseh shechita, and the second second you're doing a ma'aseh shechita. What's the nafkamina? Do we call it a shechita? Do we not call it a shechita? We all agree that the shechita doesn't work until the end, right? When the Torah says you have to slaughter the animal before you can eat it, if you just do the first half of the shechita without the second half, you can't eat that meat. Everyone agrees to that. The first half of the shechita is not matzah the animal. Only the end of the shechita, only the completed shechita is matzah the animal. What's the nafkamina of saying yes to shechita mechila v'atzayif when there are other halachis in the Torah that have to do with shechita? For example, the Torah says that you're not allowed to shecht chulin in the azara. If you have an animal which is not hektish, you can't bring it into the azara and do a shechita, and that's an avera. Right, well, let's say you'll get malchus for it. So, if I just did the first half of the shechita in the Azara, did I do the Aveira? I'm standing right at the entrance, right between the Azara, in out of the Azara, and I'm walking as I'm shechting. I'm very dexterous, and I'm leading the animal. I'm walking. I'm in the Azara, but I'm walking out. Maybe they even told me, you know, you're not supposed to do that over here. So I'm in the Azara, and I'm walking out. I was like, fine, I'll do the shechita outside. But I started a little bit early. Right as I was at the threshold, I started to shech the animal. One, two, I walk out. Three, four, five, I complete the shechita. But I started the shechita, and it ended up being a complete shechita. But the first half of the shechita was done in the Azara. Did I do an Aveira? Did I do the Aveira of shechting chulim ba'azara? I didn't do a whole shechita ba'azara, but I did a half a shechita ba'azara. So if you hold Eino Shechita El B'Soif, that the only part of the Shechita, when we talk about Shechita, Hilcha Shechita mean the last moment of the Shechita. So then, I didn't do that in the Azara. I did that out of the Azara. I'm a good Yid. I did everything right. But if you hold Yeshel Shechita B'Shin Levat Soif, that the whole process, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all that is called part of a Shechita, so I did part of a Shechita in the Azara. So that's an Aveira. I'm going to be Chayav Malkus for that. So that's a Machlokes. Yeshel Shechita B'Shin Levat Soif or Eino Shechita El B'Soif. The Gemara on the Chayim Beis says that this kasha that we ask, that in the case of Chulim Ba'azara, doesn't the Isser come before the Chiyuv Dal of the Hay? The Gemara says that's only if you hold Yeshu Shechita B'Chita B'Atzayif. But if you hold Einel Shechita El B'Atzayif, then everything is good. Then both Dinim come at the same moment. It doesn't become Asr until you finish. That's when you Chayim Dal of the Hay also. So the Gemara says, from the fact that the Mishnah says you chayav dal v'hei over here, let that be a raya that ain't no shechita el b'soif. Because if you would hold yes to shechita b'chita b'soif, we'd have this kasha of keeping the shaka b'porto. So and we don't want to be stuck with this kasha. So let's therefore conclude that ain't no shechita el b'soif. That's the Gemara on Ayin Beis. Now here in the Chayin Aleph, we have a Gemara that has the identical kasha, but without the introduction. The identical kasha of keeping the shaka b'porto asra. And then the by the ending, it's Lav de Marka Tavach. That's a quote verbatim from the Gemara that Chayim Beis. But our Gemara doesn't say. But the Kash is only the Man Amar Yeshel Shchitim Chilavat Seif. So Rashi just does us the service of filling in the blanks. Our Gemara was Makatzer. Our Gemara didn't speak out everything that the Gemara that Chayim Beis spoke out. But I know from that Chayim Beis that the Kash is only a Kash if you hold Yeshel Shchitim Chilavat Seif. So Rashi over here says that our Gemara's Kasha. It means to be asking a kasha. L'man da'amri yeshu shechidim b'chidim b'atzayif. Because al-kadat yeshu shechidim b'chidim b'atzayif. And therefore the Gemara is asking this kasha. That's from the Rashi, the Rashi came to Shachar B'Porta. Rashi speaks out that the kasha is only l'man da'amri yeshu shechidim b'chidim b'atzayif, which is taken straight out of the Gemara on Daf Ayin Beis. Taisus, the top Taisus, argued. Top Taisus says that no, our Gemara is kasha. There's no introduction in our Gemara. You know why? Because it's not true in our Gemara. On Daf Ayin Beis, the kasha is only one man da'amar. But in our Gemara, the Gemara's kasha is only kasha in both man da'amar. Okay, so we'll have to stop over here. We'll pick up on that in the Shem tomorrow.
Thank you.
You're welcome.